Blog Talk Radio.
It's so important, people of God, to get into the very presence of God. Nothing else matters now. In fact, I want you to find yourself right in the Holy of Holies. I see His presence. I'm in His presence. While I'm there thanking Him, I know that I have a right. Whatever I need, He will supply. I believe tonight somebody just wants Him to open up the windows of heaven for you. Let it rain. Send down your blessings, Lord. I just need you to move in this place tonight. I just need you to move in this place tonight. He's doing it right now. Hallelujah. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Help me, somebody, say it tonight.
Yeah.
Let it rain, let it rain. Hallelujah. Well, good morning. This is Tri Anointed Ministries, and I am your host, Evangelist Von Dimas, and I'm coming to you just to say God bless you. What an honor it is to sit and just be together today as we learn and get to feed on the Word. So let's just taste and see that the Word is good. What is it good for? It's good for your situations, whatever it is that you're in, whether you're up, down, in the middle. If you're not having any kind of stress in your life right now, say again, thank you, Jesus. But let's pray for all of the ones that are around you, because someone else is needing to hear the Word. So whether we're up, we thank God, whether we're down, whether we're doing fine, and we feel like we're on level ground right now, we still and constant praise for the Lord. And if you're down and you feel like that no one else can understand where you are right now, oh, we still have to be in prayer and say, thank you, Jesus, because someone else is worse off than you. Hallelujah. Someone else is still worse off than you. And if we are alive, thank you, Jesus. That is just a testament of God's mercy and grace to give us another opportunity. And grace is brand new every day. Every day. So reach out and receive whatever it is that you're needing from the Lord right now today. Hallelujah. Let's learn some things today that's going to carry you on your way, that's going to strengthen you, that's going to give you what it is that you need. So we give you praise, Lord, and we give you honor. And let's go ahead and start with our scripture for today. Right before, I just want to remind everyone, the call number is 646-652-4916. God bless you all. God bless you here and there. Our scripture is coming from the book of Exodus. So we're going to be in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus. And we're going to go to chapter 23. Chapter 23. And we're going to start with verse 20. Hallelujah. So in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, starting with verse 20, it says, behold. I love when the Lord just speaks to us and he's just like, behold. He wants our attention. It's just a calm peace comes above me. And he gets my attention. I raise my eyebrows and I'm like, yes, Father, what is it? He says,
Behold, I send an angel before thee. And why does he do it? He said, because I want this angel to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place where I have prepared. So again, he wants to make sure that we stay in the right direction, on the right pathway. He says, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place where I have prepared. Verse 21 says, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 22 says, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy within thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I will cut them off. Who is your Hittites? Who is your Canaanites today? Who is it that is your adversaries that you need the Lord to stand beside you? Hallelujah. He says, I send an angel before you because I want you to not be misguided. I want you to listen to the voice because it is I who is in him. He's representing directly from what I have for you. Listen to his voice, and he will lead you to my pathway of righteousness. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to just come together once again, and we ask that I may decrease and that you may increase. Speak your word, dear Father. Teach us your Holy Spirit. We accept that you have for us right now. We believe that every word of your Bible is true from the beginning to the end. So now as we sit, let us see that you're good. May it make a difference in our situations today. May it make a difference in our lives and our travels tomorrow, on our jobs, in our homes. Every word that we speak, may it be spake because the words, the filling, the glory, the mercy that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, we open our arms and we invite you. Come on in, Holy Spirit. Come on in, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on in. Amen. Amen. Guard your heart. Hallelujah. Guarding your heart. You know, we work so hard to guard so many things. A lot of times we actually are our properties that we spend money into. Our security systems can just be almost half of what we spend for some of our furnishings for our homes. You know, just trying to guard our property, our investments. We want to guard. When doing our money markets and we're trading stocks, and we want to make sure that we guard those things that are dear to us. Our families, our when they go off to school, we have different ways that we want to make sure that we are guarding those things because they're hard to you. They're very close to us. Hallelujah. So I thank you, Lord Jesus, for just the opportunity to remind us that we too should guard our hearts. We live in a heart-healthy world right now. And as we turn on TVs or the radios, we're always hearing about our heart and how we should definitely keep our heart healthy. Maybe it would be more accurate to say that we hear a lot about heart healthy. I'm not so sure how many people actually get involved in trying to keep their heart healthy, but we hear a lot about it. We definitely hear the term used often again in our commercials of printing on products. But the truth is that we probably aren't as heart healthy as we need to be. And that is why it's such a big selling point. Well, I think that it's great to be healthy and, of course, to take care of the temple that God has given us. I also wonder, what would happen if we gave just as much attention to the heart that the Bible talks about as we do our physical heart? that our lives would reflect the fruit of the Spirit more. I think that we would live with godly characters in every situation if we paid more attention to the heart that the Bible speaks about. Our first scripture today comes from Proverbs 4:23, and it simply reads in the New Living Standard, it says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." It says, guard your heart above all else. Why? Before it determines the course of your life. The word heart simply means your inner man. The word heart simply means your mind. It simply means your understanding and your will. So God is instructing us to guard our inner man, our mind, our understanding, our will. Wow. What a powerful verse when you think about it. He's asking us to guard it because it's going to determine the course of our life. The New King James Version says it this way. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. What the Bible is saying here is that the heart is where you make your decisions. It is where you determine your pursuits and the things that you focus on. Knowing that is just the beginning. What's even more important is that God instructs us to guard our hearts. So I want to take just a few moments today just to explore what God wants us to guard against. You know, some things in our heart we need to let go. But we need to always stay focused on the things that we need to maintain and keep in our heart. So the same way that we look at guarding our investments, we want to look at our heart as an investment today. So we want to make sure that we take out the time to guard those things that God has invested in us. Hallelujah. Passion is one of the things in our heart. We need to start by keeping passion strong. Paul told Timothy that he should fan into flames the gift of God that was in him. And you have to do the very same thing. You have to guard the inward fire, that inward passion. Jesus even said that you should not be lukewarm. Remember? What was he actually saying? He was saying, guard your inward passion for him. Your inward passion for him should be guarded. You don't want to become lukewarm. You can't serve God lukewarm. Hallelujah. So by the way, just to let you know, it is no one else's responsibility to make sure that your fire is lit. It's your responsibility to make sure that your fire is lit. And I know you've heard it before, when I actually hear people say things like, you know, the worship didn't really do it for me today. Have you heard that one? Or what about they say, well, you know, pastor's message, it didn't stir me up today. I think to myself when I hear those things, what if we all would just show up to church full of fire? What if we all decided to show up to our Bible classes, our cell groups, full of the passion of God? Now, instead of waiting for someone to tickle your spiritual funny bone, we would just help create an atmosphere of praise. We walk in the world. We walk in the church. We walk in our cell groups just full of passion. Somebody beside you would just get healed. Deliverance would just drop off and just come to those who are needing. Health, instead of healing, divine health would just spread around you if we all would come full of praise, come full of passion. Hallelujah. If we came full of worship, we came with our fire lit. Sometimes we come and we're just drenched with all the things that has come about us throughout the days and throughout the weeks that We're just dry. We're just there. We're brittle. And we still got all the things on our mind, and we haven't laid them down. And we don't plan on laying them down at the altar. We ask for prayer, but those are words that someone is saying, but we don't want to pray deeply because we still are angry about some of the things that has happened to us. But what would happen if we just really set it all aside? If we said that this is my time that I'm going to praise, I'm going to worship, I'm going to get my passion lit, I'm going to light my fire, I want to hear what the word of the Lord has said to my leader, my shepherd, as he passes it down and it ignites with what I already got started. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Let's try that. We have a brand new day tomorrow, and if we are able to be a part of the land of the living, why not get up and let's just go tomorrow? Let's start with our passion full, with our love gauge full, with our worship full, because as we praise him, you praise him long enough, you just go into a worship. You just start worshiping him because of your praise. And it's because of his love, what he's done, what he's showing us. Hallelujah. So one more time, just remember it's no one else's responsibility to make sure that your fire is lit. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, Miss Pretty and Ron Godwin and Get the Well. God bless you all that's in the chat room. Hallelujah. So life challenges, of course, can sometimes pour cold water on our passion for the things of God in our lives. And it can turn us upside down. Some of the life challenges with our finances, just with our health. You know, we go through different things, death and hurt, harm, danger. Sometimes it can pour cold water on the passion of God. But we have to guard that passion and say nothing, nobody is going to come and interfere with my love from God. It's not going to separate me from the love of God. It's not going to temporarily take my mind somewhere else. I'm going to be guarding my passion, and I'm going to ensure that it stays squarely focused on the things of God. And let that passion then come into focus with our vision. You should always guard your vision, saints. Whether it's a vision for your ministry, a vision for your career, your future, your family, or your finances. A vision is just simply getting a picture in your heart of what tomorrow would look like. See, a vision is the down payment on fulfilling your God-given assignment, your vision. In fact, the Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. Psalms 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. In the New King James Version, it says that where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. So if you don't guard your vision, then you're throwing restraint out. Guarding vision sometimes means keeping the voices of the naysayers out. Everything that God speaks to you or says to you, you have to be careful. You can't just run back and go tell everybody about your vision. Everyone does not want to see your vision come into the present. They don't want to see your vision blossom and bloom. So you guard what it is that is the Lord has spoken to you or that he's showing you. Hallelujah. Guard in your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your visions. Naysayers can throw you off guard. People that have no vision of their own, they will do anything they can to tear your vision down. They'll tell you, well, that doesn't even make sense. Why are you planning on doing that? You don't even have your degree in that area. Why do you think you can succeed in that area? Naysayers will do all kind of things when they don't have a vision to try to tear your vision down. Hallelujah. Don't let them tear your vision down, sisters and brothers. Don't let them tear your vision down. People who should be bringing themselves up oftentimes find it easier to tear other people down. They should be working on bringing themselves up. But they procrastinate, or for whatever reason that they don't, they still find it easier for them to tear you down. Hallelujah. Don't let them tear your vision down. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just right now, let's just say, God, from this day forward, I'm going to guard my passion. I'm going to guard my vision. Help me guard my vision, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The problem is that God has called you to separate from the pack. And a lot of times, the people that you're trying to separate from don't want to see you succeed, because misery loves company. So you're sanctified, you're set aside, set apart for God's expressed purpose. For God's expressed purpose, you have been set aside, set apart. So don't settle for fitting into the crowd. The crowd needs a leader. So don't settle for fitting into the crowd. You are that leader. You are the leader. Hallelujah. So we're protecting our passion. We're going to protect our vision. Now let's go to generosity. Generosity. You should keep generosity in. That's one of the things you want to keep in your heart. Some of the things, the mildest things that the naysayers are saying and trying to put you down, you want to not let that just settle in your heart. Those things have to be released. Now, generosity is one of the things that you want to keep in. Being a generous giver is the mark of a mature Christian. A mature believer is a giver. And not just a giver with your finances, but also a giver of your time. What about a giver of your energy? How about being generous in forgiveness? That's a big one. That's a big one. The reality is that in life you will have many opportunities to not be generous with your forgiveness, to not be generous with your time, with your energy, with your finances. But a mature believer cancels the debt of the person who mistreats them. Do you know that's exactly what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 18? One servant was forgiven a massive debt, just like you and I have been forgiven. Yet that same servant that was forgiven the massive debt, he turned around and imprisoned one of his servants for a minor debt. See, when we hold unforgiveness against someone, we're doing the same thing. God wants us to be generous with our finances. He wants us to be generous with our time and our energy. And he wants us to be generous with our forgiveness, sisters and brothers. Unforgiveness, it's like you drinking poison. And then you're waiting for the other person that you refuse to forgive. You're waiting on that person to die. After you're the one who have been drinking the poison. But you're waiting on that person to die. See, the poison you drink will not kill the person that you won't forgive. But it kills no one but yourself. It opens a door for your stuff to be taken. You know the kill, steal, and destroy method? Your unforgiveness opens that door. It opens the door to kill, steal, and destroy your marriage, your child's future. Unforgiveness kills your jobs, your dreams, and your hope. Unforgiveness. You wouldn't dare think of drinking poison and then expect someone else to die from it. So when you are not able to forgive someone else, it is you who is destroying. They get to go ahead and live their life. notice, you look around and you see them. You said they seem to be prospering in life. But I'm the one being held back. Forgiveness. You must forgive yourself. It is things that God has forgiven you for that you can't seem to forgive yourself for. You have to learn how to forgive yourself. You say, I don't hold anything against anyone else. I just can't forgive myself for what I've done. You just don't know what I've done, Evangelist. You just don't know where I've been. God knows. And if he said he can forgive you, who am I? Who is your neighbor that they should hold it against you? Who are you that you hold it against yourself? Forgiveness. Hallelujah. We must learn to forgive ourselves. Forgiveness. Again, the call-in number is 646-652-4916. We're speaking about guard your heart. I am your host, Evangelist Von Dumas. And you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. If you need literature, if you need a Bible, just send me your information to walkwithmegod@aol.com. I will send you out a Bible with postage already paid. If you need large version, just let me know. I'm more than welcome to send it out. Some of the times people say, well, can you just send me a Bible too? I can bless someone else with. Hallelujah. Every literature and Bible that I send out, I pray over it before I send it out. Because when you receive it, I want you to receive the anointing, the Holy Spirit with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So again, we need to keep some things in our heart while never losing focus on what we need to guard against. Guarding against naysayers. Keeping vision and generosity in our heart. And then we want to speak about commitment. We want to speak about the commitment that we need to keep in our hearts at all times. The thing that you should always guard in your life is your commitments. Matthew 5:37 says, let your yes be yes, and let your no's be no's. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up in a moment and commit to something out of feeling of obligation, or we commit to things out of emotions. See, the problem is that emotions change. So tomorrow, you won't feel the same way about the thing that as you felt today. So you cannot commit out of emotions. Do not commit to things out of just obligation, the way that you're feeling right now. You feel all good and you commit to all of these things, and tomorrow you're just like, wow, I know I said I would do this. I know I said I was going to pick up this brother and this sister and I was taking them to cell group. I know I said I was going to help out with Meals on Wheels and deliver these meals. I know that I said I was going to do the extra hours at work, but now I'm not feeling the same way. We have to remember again, Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Do not commit to anything out of emotion or because you feel like you're obligated. Hallelujah. Just ask anyone who ever bought something, and you've been there, and I've been there many times. You go out and you buy something, you make the purchase, and then you live to regret it in the days to come. And you know, it's called buyer's remorse. And you said, I really didn't need that. And if you don't return it, it ends up in your closet. My non-returns, I always end up giving it to someone. And I said, well, I just bless someone with it. Or if I wear it and someone compliments me on it, I end up taking it off. Hey, it's yours. You know, I don't think this was for me anyway. I bought this thing, you know, I really didn't really need it. You know, but it said buyer's remorse. Because we bought it at the time out of emotions, or we bought it because we saw this big sale sign on it. Or we bought it because we just thought we needed it. Ecclesiastes 5 tells us a little better. It says, it is better not to vow than to vow and not pay. The bottom line with commitment is that God desires for us to honor our commitment. Honor our commitment. And I found that there is no harvest of consistency in a person's life. If there is no harvest of consistency in a person's life, then there has to be no sowing of commitment. See, some people are best known for their inabilities to commit to a relationship. You all know somebody who just will not commit to a relationship. And they're just known that they are just not going to be committed. They're not going to be committed. They're not going to be committed to a job. They're not going to be committed to their church. They'll tell you that they'll be there early to open up the doors. So they'll tell you they'll be there on Saturday to go around and do the grooming of the landscape. But they never show up. You call them and they either forgot or something came up. Or they just don't answer. They're just not committed. We all know people like that. Today, is that person you? When is the last time that you committed to something but did not go through with it? When is the last time that you signed up for time at work but then you're not there? Commitment. When is the last time you promised something but then you just said, well, he or she will understand. I'm tired. The kids will understand that we'll do it another time. But you committed to that. Let your yes be yes. Let your no's be no. So keep commitment close to your heart. Guard your commitment as a precious commodity. Commitment. Hallelujah. So don't be one of the people. If you are today, work on it. So you're not going to continue to be one of the people that are known for your lack of commitment. Because people don't forget when you turn it around, when you flip upside down and don't do what you said you was going to do. People don't forget. And God wants us to be committed to the things that honor him most. If you commit yourself to reading 1 hour a day, one chapter a day, whatever it is, spending 15 minutes, if that's where you need to start, just after you read, just being in silence with the Lord, saying, Lord, I'm available. I'm available to hear from you. Spend 15 minutes just praising him. And if you can't think of anything to say, just call his name. Call out the name of Jesus over and over again. Just say, thank you, Jesus, over and over again. And just say, God, I'm available to hear from you. God, I'm available to hear from you. Commit to what you can. Don't commit to an hour of in the Word and then an hour of spending time with God if you know that you haven't even started. Start small. Start small. Hallelujah. We love you too, Miss Pretty. God bless you. He wants us to guard our commitments. Guard our commitments. If you're married, he wants you to be fully committed to your spouse. What's important to your spouse should be important to you. So don't commit that you're going to be there and lift them up when they're doing something that is important to them, and then you just say, well, you know what, something else came up. I will make it up to them. You know, hear me from the Spirit, because there are times that things come up. But for the most part, make that one of the utmost important things that you're doing. Guard your commitment as you say it. And if you're not for sure you're going to be able to do it, again, don't commit to it. Let your yes be yes and your no's be no's. Matthew 5:37. If you're a parent, he wants you to be committed to your children. And as an employer, be committed to the commitment that you made to your job. Hallelujah. As we work to guard our hearts by keeping these things in, we will honor God in the things that we say and the things that we do. As an employer, when I'm interviewing people, I think it's really remarkable about they always tell me that, yes, they never miss days and they're always dedicated, they're always there. And then I see the same group of people maybe 6 months down the road, and they've been brought into my office by their supervisors because they wasn't committed. They couldn't, the thing they thought they could commit to, now they're not following through. But I always remind them of the commitment they gave me in the hiring process. We have to make sure that we stay committed to what it is that we're going to say or do. So again, as we work together to guard our heart, we're going to guard our heart above all else, for it determines the course of our life. Proverbs 4:23. We're going to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So while we want to be heart healthy as far as our physical heart, we also want to make sure that we guard our heart that the Bible speaks about just as much. So we're going to guard our passion, and we're remembering that it's no one else's responsibility to make sure that your passion fire is lit, but yours. To make sure that your worship fire is lit is your responsibility. So it's not the worship leader's responsibility to just make sure that he lights your fire and keep it going. You have to come with your fire lit. And together we ignite our little fires together, and healing comes. Deliverance comes. Hallelujah. So if we all go in with full of fire and full of passion tomorrow, as we step into our sanctuaries, as we go throughout the week to our cell groups, let's go full of fire. Let's go full of passion instead of waiting for someone to tickle our spiritual funny bone. Hallelujah. Let's create an atmosphere of praise. Hallelujah. And then we're going to guard our vision. We're going to guard our vision, because where there is no vision, our people perish. Proverbs 29:18. Guarding our vision. Hallelujah. And then we want to guard our generosity. It's guarding our generosity. A mature believer cancels the debt of the person who mistreats them. So we want to be generous with our energy, with our time, with our forgiveness. Be generous with your forgiveness. Hallelujah. And then we want to guard our commitment. We want to let our yes be yes. And we're going to let our no's be no's. Matthew 5:37. And remember the naysayers, the visions that God gives to us. We want to make sure that we guard who we go running out telling what you have heard the Holy Spirit tell you. Because everyone is not wanting to see you succeed. So we want to move out the negative things that the naysayers are saying. No, you can't do this. I don't think you should try to do that. But we want to guard the vision that he has instilled inside of us. And then we want to be committed to our marriages, committed to our children, committed to our jobs, committed to our churches. And don't make commitments because you're feeling obligated or because of your emotions, because emotions change. Tomorrow you may not feel the same way, and now that commitment is no good. So as we work to guard our hearts by keeping all of these things inside of us protected, we will then honor God in the things that we say, and we will honor God in the things that we do. And then as we honor God, God honors us. Matthew 6 and 33. Again, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So he's saying, I know that you need the house. I know that you're waiting on your spouse. I know that you're still waiting on your kids who are just out of control right now to be come back in the fold. He said, I know that you're still waiting right now for that bill to be paid. He said, but instead of worrying about that, instead of worrying about which one of the applications that you filled out is going to be calling you first, he said, just seek me. Run after me. He said, if you look for me, you'll find me. He said, seek me first. Put me first. Seek my kingdom, and you will find my righteousness. And when you find me, I will just add all of those things. I know your needs. He said, I add all of those things unto you. So the spouse, instead of you running out trying to find him or her, he said, let me give you what I know you need. I will add that spouse unto you, and I add the one that I've already been cleaning up just for you. I add the one that I know that's going to work just for you, that's going to be committed to you, not to you, to you, to you, to you, because that's not commitment. He said, but if you choose it, then you're choosing on your own from the world's pickings. But if I choose it, I'm picking according to your heart. So when we commit ourselves, hallelujah, to God, and we honor God in the things that we say and do, then God will honor us. Hallelujah. God will truly honor us. If you have not ever introduced yourself or been introduced to Jesus Christ, if he's not your personal Lord and Savior, I know that others in your life may be, but salvation is for you. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I would just like to take the opportunity to introduce you to the greatest friend, the greatest leader that you'll ever have. And as you say these words, if you believe them in your heart, you will be born again, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross, and I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Congratulations. If you've just prayed this prayer, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ. And as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says in the New Testament, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now remember, you got to guard your vision, because naysayers are going to say you're still the same drunk you were. But your heart is telling you, I'm a new creature in Christ. The naysayers is going to say, come on, let's go back out and party. Let's go rob. Let's go steal. Let's go do the things we were doing. Who do you think you are? So now you're saying you're better than me? No, I'm just saying that I am, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creature in Christ. And old things are passed away. I don't even know how to live in a new life yet. All I know is that the old things are passed away. And I'm going to depend and lean on my Father to show me that all of the newness inside of me. Friend, you have a whole new life with Jesus to look forward to, starting right now. Your slate is clean before God. You say, Evangelist Bond, you don't understand what I've done. I've prostituted, I've been a drug addict, I've been a thief, I've been a murderer, I've been a liar. I've abused my kids. The Bible tells us that your slate is clean before God. Some things we do have consequences, but your slate is still clean before God. Your spirit has been reborn because of Christ's great sacrifice, his great love for you. Please let me know of your decision to follow Christ. Again, I will send you out a Bible to get you started on your Christian walk. I will be more than glad to get on the internet and I try to find locations or churches or cell groups in your city and state that is preaching and teaching the word of God. Not just some religious mumble-jumble, not just something that today they may be religious, tomorrow they lay it down and they curse you out, but somebody who's really preaching the word of God, someone who's trying to live by the word of God. I don't want to set you up with somebody that's going to hurt you, but I need you to be connected with who God has for you. But again, just send me your information to walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, it's walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can reach me always by my phone at 210-264-5287. 210-264-5287. Or, of course, you can always leave a message here at the Blog Talk Radio. But we would love to get something sent out to you. If you're needing your information sent out in Spanish, I definitely can get Spanish Bibles also. Remember, any Bible that comes out, I've already prayed over for you because I want you to receive the full effects of the anointing. Hallelujah. So write or send to, information to me today. And remember, Christ is thinking about you, and he only wants the best for your life. God bless you and God keep you until the next broadcast. We ask God to just consecrate our life. Consecrate us, Jesus.
9 years ago gave me this song in prayer and I never forgot it. Consecrate me, Lord. Consecrate me, Lord. Oh, consecrate me to do thy will, thy will, thy will. Consecrate me, Lord. Oh, come on in and consecrate me, Lord. Oh, consecrate me to do. I want to do thy will. This is a flow of ministry tonight. It ain't about no who's who and who you are and where you come from. Tonight is a night of surrendering. Oh, come on, somebody, open up your mouth and say, consecrate me, Lord. Consecrate me, Lord. Consecrate, hallelujah, me to do thy will, thy will, thy will.
God bless you. We love you. Again, this is Evangelist Brian Phillips, and good night from Tri-Anointed Ministries. Love you.